Hello, this is my Easter week diary for April the 2nd, 2018. Today is Monday in Easter week. After all of the celebrations over the weekend, today the church office was closed, and I spent most of the day in somewhat of a recovery mode. A little reading, a little housework, a little running on the treadmill, a little here and there, mostly sitting still. And as I sat around today thinking about all that happens in a parish church over Easter weekend, I couldn't help but wonder, what was the Monday after the resurrection like for Jesus' first disciples? They hadn't had time to theologize about it. They hadn't even really had time to accept it. And if the Gospel of John is to be believed, the Apostle Thomas didn't accept it. But that's a story for next Sunday. Anyway, as I thought about the resurrection and thought about what it could have been like for those first followers of Jesus, I remembered a little essay that I'd read years ago by Christian author Frederick Buechner, in which Buechner talks a little bit about the confusing nature of the Easter narratives and a bit about what it means to have an empty tomb as the symbol of the holiday. And so I thought it might be helpful for those of you who may be listening to listen to a writer who really puts it together in a very powerful way. So this is a bit of Frederick Buechner's essay on Easter from his little book, Whistling in the Dark, A Doubter's Dictionary. The Gospels are far from clear as to just what happened on Easter. It began in the dark. The stone had been rolled aside. Matthew alone speaks of an earthquake. In the tomb, there were two white-clad figures, or possibly just one. Mary Magdalene seems to have gotten there before anybody else. There was a man she thought at first was the gardener. Perhaps Mary, the mother of James, was with her, and another woman named Joanna. One account says Peter came too with one of the other disciples. Elsewhere, the suggestion is that there were only the women and that the disciples who were somewhere else didn't believe the women's story when they heard it. There was the sound of people running, of voices. Matthew speaks of fear and great joy. Confusion was everywhere. There is no agreement even as to the role of Jesus himself. Did he appear at the tomb or only later? Where? To whom did he appear? What did he say? What did he do? It is not a major production at all this Easter. And the minor attractions we have created around it, the bunnies and baskets and bonnets, the dyed eggs, have so little to do with what it's all about that they neither add much nor subtract much. It's not really much of a story when you come right down to it, and that, of course, is the power of it. It doesn't have the ring of great drama. It has the ring of truth. If the gospel writers had wanted to tell it in a way to convince the world that Jesus indeed rose from the dead, they would presumably have done it with all the skill and fanfare they could muster. In the gospels, there is no skill, no fanfare. They seem to be telling it simply the way it was. The narrative is as fragmented, shadowy, and incomplete as life itself. When it comes to just what happened, there can be no certainty. That something unimaginable happened, there can be no doubt. The symbol of Easter is the empty tomb. You can't depict or domesticate emptiness. You can't make it into pageants and string it with lights. It doesn't move people to give presents to each other or sing old songs. It ebbs and flows all around us this Eastertide. My prayer for you is that you've been able to hold on a bit to the joy you may have experienced in worship yesterday. I understand that we compartmentalize things in our lives. I understand that plenty of people had to go back to work today. Plenty of people are dealing with all sorts and conditions of difficulties in their lives. If we're not careful, we can move on past Easter Day before the lilies have even wilted. And I think that's the great gift of the church, to give us 50 days of Easter, to give us this entire season, so that as we move through our lives, the Eastertide can ebb and flow all around us. Be on the lookout for resurrection. I'm pretty convinced that it's happening all the time, if only we have eyes to see. Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that we who celebrate with awe the Paschal Feast may be found worthy to attain everlasting joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.